its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born.
So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be
shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 25 tonight. Proverbs in chapter 25, as you find that, and as you're able, would you stand to your feet? Proverbs in chapter number 25, and we'll read two verses tonight, verse number 4 and 5, if you would read those out loud together with me as we read through our scripture tonight. Proverbs 25, verse number 4 and 5. Hope you had a wonderful time with your family and friends and others for Thanksgiving time. And I hope you had a blessed time and ate too much food. Are you in the Christmas spirit yet? Are you? I think I'll be in the Christmas spirit when I get Christmas cookies. Until then, I don't know, I'm ready, but my wife this afternoon said, do we need some Christmas cookies? I said, yes. And I was like, how did you know that? She goes, I'm not really sure. Trying to lay it on thick. But no, I had a good time and getting to see some family for a couple days and good to be back. Proverbs 25, verse number 4 and 5. Would you read these together with me out loud? That would be great. Proverbs 25, verse 4 and 5. Ready and begin. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. I want to focus on this verse number 4 tonight, but both these verses really mirror each other. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Let's pray. We do thank you, Lord, for this night and this opportunity to be in church. Lord, it is a blessing, but a privilege, Lord. We ask to hear from you. We ask you to speak to hearts and help us, Lord, tonight and speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this verse, it talks about taking away the dross from the silver. The dross, it refers to the impurities or the waste material that's separated from the precious metals during the refining process. I in no way try to see myself as a blacksmith, and I've watched people make knives and tools, but that does not make me an expert. But as I've watched those in the process, it does intrigue me to see someone again to make a knife or a tool or to make some kind of a vessel. And as you see someone go to make a tool and they forge it together and they put it in the heat and they pound it out and they get the impurities out and forge that piece of metal into something that's either beautiful or usable in some way, shape, or form. But as you know this, if you're going to make a tool, if you're going to make a knife of some sort maybe, and that's my intrigue that goes a little more that way. Some of the men have done that a bit maybe, and you watch as they forge that out, and you'll find out if there's a weak spot that was not forged properly. You'll find out if there's a weakness, there's something in there that shouldn't be in there, because the first time you go to use that tool or that weapon, it will break, it'll bend, and it will not be usable because it was maybe not forged properly because of an impurity in the process of making this tool or metal, or maybe because of something that was in the metal to begin with. As you look at the passage here, I'm not going to give you too much explanation on how to forge a tool. Again, I'm not an expert in the matter, but the biblical context here, it's a metaphor for us being the tool that God wants to make, and He wants to get the dross, the impurities out of our life. The Bible says that we shall come forth a vessel for the finer. I'd like to look at a few practical points on this tonight about how God wants to use our lives and some things that must happen for us to be fit for the Master's use. As you go to forge a tool or a weapon of some sort, you'll pick out the kind of metal that you use, and you go and forge it in the heat, and you'll stick it in there, and they'll heat it up to somewhere between 1,500 to 2,000 degrees to forge this weapon. Pretty hot. You keep it in there until it's glowing. You pull it out, and you pound on it. Sometimes stick it back in the forge and to heat it up again, you pull it out and you pound on it some more until you make it into what you want. You realize that in our lives that there's some impurities that God needs to get out of our lives. There's some pressure sometimes that God needs to apply to our lives. There's some heat that God needs to get some things out. Why? For the end product, so that we be a vessel fit for the Master's use. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 18 for a moment, if you would. You can hold your place here in the book of Proverbs. We find a similar passage here that talks about God preparing us for His use. You know the passage about the potter and the clay. We'll look at a few of these verses tonight as we kind of get a parallel to these passages. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Again, remembering that God is the potter, that He's the finer. And we're the clay, we're the tool, we're the materials that God is trying to take from our lives, and that it has our impurities. Understand this, not an excuse, but there are no perfect people, right? Is that an encouraging thought to you sometimes, right? If there were perfect people, then man, that'd be really discouraging. But sometimes you're like, man, they're struggling the same way that I'm struggling. And you don't find encouragement in that, but you feel like, okay, they're working on the same things that I'm working on. And God is trying to take us from what we were, that we're sinners saved by grace. Amen? And we're not much. He pulled us up out of the miry clay. And you look at that, and you may look at what God would pull up from our lives and think, there's not a whole lot usable. There's not a whole lot that I would see, God, that this is something great for you to use. But if you take your life and you say, God, I want to allow you to use my life. I want to allow you to change my life and to forge it and to cleanse it and to purge it into what you want it to be. In the end, you'll find a vessel fit for the master's use. You'll find a clay that is usable in God's sight that seemeth good to the potter to use it. As you look at this passage here, I don't want to discourage our kids that have been on Thanksgiving break, but you have addition by subtraction. All right? Again, not bringing math into it, but I'm sorry I just did. But you have to take away things from our lives to add into our lives, right? You have to take away the impurities, the things that are wrong, and to work on those areas so that God can add the things that we do need so we would be fit for the master's use to find the product of what God wants to have done in our lives. First of all, I want to look at this phrase in verse number 4 of Proverbs 25, if you turn back there, if you haven't already. It says, take away the dross from the silver. You know, there's things that God needs to take out of our lives, not just once, but every day. Now, when you're saved once for all. Amen? Eternal security. Once you get saved, you're always saved, sealed until the day of redemption. Man, if you could lose your salvation, wouldn't that be discouraging, right? Wouldn't you be worrying all the time, oh, did I lose my salvation now? Did I lose it now? Did I lose it now? Let me ask you this. If you could lose your salvation, then what sins qualify you losing your salvation? And which ones is God okay with you having those sins and, oh, you're still good with that? Well, if you could lose your salvation, then any sin would make you lose your salvation. So you'd be lost more than you were saved. Right? You wouldn't be on a good track in your life. But I'm thankful that once you're saved, God has forgiven your sins for all eternity. But once you're saved, that God is working on our lives. God is preparing us to be used for Him, but God has to take some things out. See, when you're saved, God gets something pretty raw. He gets something that maybe doesn't look very beautiful or usable. You ever see someone that goes to salvage an item from the junk? Or maybe from someone's trash, or maybe they find something just rusted, and they take it and they fix it up, and they sand it up, and they paint it, or they replace the hardware. And you look at something that you look at probably like I do. Maybe you look at through a different lens. I think that's a piece of junk. I wouldn't waste my time on it. And there's others. They look at a piece of junk and they go, oh, that could be something great. And after all the time and money and sweat and tears and all that, you make it into something beautiful. You have to take out the impurities. You have to clean it up before you can add to it to make it something beautiful. The Bible says to take away the dross from the silver, the impurities that naturally build up. You notice this, if you leave a tool out, it gets rusted. You leave something out, it gets dusty, it gets dirty. Let me ask you this, does your house naturally get cleaner all on its own? Well, if you have children, I'm sure it does, because children love to just naturally clean things up, and they don't like to mess it up, right? No, the house, well, it naturally gets messy and dirty. You think, I've not even done anything, and it got dirty again. The yard naturally gets messy, and the car and the things in life, things naturally are decaying, aren't they? They're naturally building up. You know, you ever clean out that junk drawer in your house or that junk closet? And you go in it a month later and you think, what happened to this thing? What rat got into here and tore everything up? I had it once clean a moment ago. And guess what? You're going to have to clean it up again. See, in our lives, we naturally have things that are building up on our life that's called sin, right? We naturally have sin that builds up in our life, not an excuse, right? Some people say, well, we're all sinners, so I guess, you know, that's just who I am. You know, that's the world's philosophy. Just accept me the way that I am. No, 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 no. God doesn't do that. We are sinners saved by grace, and God, come as you are, but not stay as you are. When you come to God, He wants to change you. You take away the dross. Sin naturally builds up in our lives. You understand this, that naturally we are prideful people, right? Naturally, we are selfish people. Naturally, we are fleshly and sinful people, where sin builds up in our life, where you get evil thinking and things that come in your life, and sin just naturally builds up in our lives from our flesh. Why? Because your flesh is just as wicked as mine is. And every single day you have to work at cleaning the impurities and getting rid of that flesh, that sinful nature out of your life. Our flesh builds up that dross in our lives, but also the world. You ever notice how the world tries to impress itself on you every single day? The world tries to impress on you with commercials and advertisements and way of thinking and philosophy. The world is constantly pumping their agenda into your life and into your children's lives, and you better be careful, because the dross is building up, the impurities in our lives, where the world wants to impress itself upon you. We have too many worldly Christians today, don't we? Too many worldly churches. You look at a church service to where many have church, and you look at it and you go, that does not look like church at all. That looks just like the world, doesn't it? They are dressing like the world, talking like the world, singing like the world, but calling it church. No, that's not what church is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be different. This is God's house. It should be different than that. But in our lives, not just in church, but in our lives personally, the world is trying to impress itself on your life. You know what? Without even thinking about it, advertisements, commercials, social media, people that you spend time with, they're impressing their philosophies, their teachings, and their thoughts upon your life, many times without you even knowing it. If commercials and advertisements didn't work, then why would the world spend millions upon millions of dollars to try to get you to eat a nasty McDonald's hamburger? You know, the common joke is people go, I would never eat a McDonald's. Well, they sell like a million burgers a day, so somebody's eating there. On Thanksgiving, I was one of those people. I went to the store on Thanksgiving Day. I always think, I feel bad that people have to work on those days until they need to go there. And then I'm thankful someone's working on that day. And as I went to the store and grabbed some plates and some stuff that we needed, I drove by McDonald's. And the line was full on Thanksgiving Day, like afternoon time. And I thought, what are you doing getting a disgusting hamburger on Thanksgiving Day? The world impresses itself on you. And if you're not careful, it's teaching you. And you're learning from it many times without even knowing it. Also, another way that we get that dross, that buildup in our life, is from the devil. You know, the devil's good at what he does. The devil's good at what he does. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is tempting and devouring each and every day. The devil's good at what he does. You know, the devil's tricks have been working for thousands of years. The same tricks that he pulled on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he's still pulling on people today, and we're buying the lie of the devil in our lives. The Bible says, take away the dross from the silver. You know what? There is a lot of sin buildup from our flesh, from the world, from the devil. But I'm thankful that the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? You don't have to be a victim of society and be just like everyone else. You can live above the crowd to be more like Christ. Amen? You don't have to be just like everyone else. People think, well, you know, everyone else is doing it, so you have to do it too. No, you don't. No, you don't, church. If the Bible says that we should be a peculiar people, different, set apart for His use, we should not be looking, acting, talking like the world. We should be set apart. We should be different. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen to this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I better put that cap on all the way. There we go. Praise the Lord. You know what? All that is in the world is not from the Father. How many times do you get the advertisements that you think, oh, well, that looks good. You do it just like I do. Oh, you know, those shoes, man, those look kind of nice. Oh, that place looks like a good place to go. And then you ever kind of do your research and you're like, oh, wait, what is this about? What do they serve there? What are people doing? You go, no, God would not want me to be there. Take away the dross from this silver. You know that God wants to take the impurities out of our life every single day. Well, how does that work? By confessing and forsaking your sin every single day. Right? Every day there's buildup of sin in our lives, and every day we must come back to God, not to the preacher, not to the priest. You come to God, and I'm thankful that we have a Heavenly Father. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian, it's so important that you have a daily walk with God. Why? Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are building up those impurities in our lives, many times without even knowing it. And when you come to God and you say, God, would you cleanse me today? Would you teach me today? Would you show me today what I need to get out? And God said, let me show you some attitude issues, some thinking, some speech, some things that are in your life that should not be here. Take away the dross from this silver. Number two, is to be more like Christ. If you want God to use you, our desire every day should be to be more like Christ. You know this, that the flesh does not want to be more like Christ. The flesh does not want to walk with God and go to church and sing godly songs. The flesh does not want to do that. You must purpose to be more like Christ every single day. The Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Well, God is the finer that we're talking about there. He's the refiner, where He takes our lives again sometimes, and He has to beat some things out of it, doesn't He? And He's got to put us in that in that forge and to heat it up. And to be more like Christ, He has to get some things out, and sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it hurts when someone says, hey, you're having a bad attitude today. Any of you like being told that? Hey, what's wrong? What's happening in your life? You know, but when you go to Christ and say, God, I want to be more like you instead of more like the world. Amen? I want to be more like you. I want to listen to Christ instead of listening to my flesh today. Too many people today, they want to be more like entertainers, want to be more like athletes, be more like influencers. You better be careful, or else you're going to try to be more like the things and the people of this world than to be more like Christ. There's a passage that God put on my heart in Acts chapter number 3. Peter and John, they were going to the temple, and the beggar there said, you have any money? And they said, gold, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Our kids in school know that song. And the man walked and he was healed. What did they do with Peter and John? They threw him in prison. They were questioned by the elders and the rulers. And it says this in Acts 4:13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. What a great testimony, right? They said, these are not bright men. They're unlearned. They're ignorant men. And it says they marveled. Why? And it says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a great testimony. They did not have all the knowledge and training of this world. No one looked at Peter and John and said, man, these guys are going to go somewhere in this life. But you know what they knew about Peter and John? They'd been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great testimony of you and I, Christian? When you go to work, that people look at you and say, there's something different about you. I hope you have that testimony, not because you're preaching to everyone all the time, but I hope that people see you living for God and praying and living a holy life. And people would look at you and say, you're different than other people. You're different. I want what you have. Do you believe in God? And they may ask you questions along those lines. And they may say this, they take knowledge that you have been with Jesus. You know this, when you spend time with someone, you start acting like them. You ever seen those couples? This month, we have an incredible testimony in this church. We have four couples in our church this month alone that are celebrating 50 years or more of marriage. What an incredible testimony that is. And what a blessing that is to our younger couples. I'll say younger, maybe not on the youngest side anymore. We've reached 20 years this year. We got a ways to go to catch up to a few others. But it's amazing how when you see a couple that's been married for decades upon decades, do you notice how much they start acting like each other? How much they start looking like each other? They start doing the same things. You probably do this like you do with your spouse, maybe with your friends for our younger people. You start saying something and your spouse finishes the phrase for you, right? Maybe you start eating something and they finish your food for you. That's a different story. You get your fork out. No, you're not taking that. But the more you spend time with someone, the more you start looking like them, right? The more you start acting like them, the more you just seem to be inseparable. You know, the more you spend time with Christ, the more you start acting like Christ. The more you start having that testimony of Christ, that should be our desire, to take the dross away, take the impurities out so God can make us more like Christ every day. That's His desire. In Philippians 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the brethren." You know what? Our goal in life as a Christian is not to be like the popular people in this world. All right? Our goal is to be more like Jesus Christ. When you're young, being cool is kind of an important thing, right? You don't want to be the nerdy, the weird one. Some don't care about it. But the older you get, you realize being cool is way overrated, right? And maybe that's because I'm not the cool person. I'm not sure. But I don't care about being the cool person. But my desire would be this: as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more like God, to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. Lastly tonight, our desire should be to be used by God every day. You take away the dross from the silver, there's a vessel that's come, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. You ever lose a tool? Says every man, right? Because your wife got a new toolbox, or your kids did. Or maybe you misplaced it. It could be that one as well. But you ever have a tool. Maybe it was your favorite tool. Like, you've used it so many times, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's missing. It's maybe buried in the dirt somewhere. It's maybe under a cabinet in the garage. Who knows? Maybe someone come and stole it. Guess what? That tool that's lost is not useful anymore, is it? You ever break a tool? Snap it in half, doing something you're probably not supposed to do with it. You break a tool, it's not usable anymore. It doesn't have any good use to you anymore. But do you have that one tool that you've used, and it looks like it came off of the ark with Noah, right? It looked like Noah used it to build the ark, and it's old, it's beat up, it's dingy, and your wife says, "Just get a new tool. This looks terrible." And you say, "No, but it's my trusty screwdriver." And you're going to keep using that screwdriver until it literally falls apart. Why? Because we're men and we don't want to change, right? If it was good once, it's good 1,000 times. That tool that's broken, not very usable. That tool that's lost is not very usable. But you have that tool that maybe you've used over and over again. And you say, "It works. I've used it 1,000 times, but it's still good." You know this, that we're that tool that God wants to use. And it's only useful in God's hands. Do you come to God and say, "God, I want you to use my hands today. God, I want you to use my mouth today. God, I want you to control my thinking today to be used by you. God, would you please control my eyes and my ears and my mouth and my hands and my feet?" Why? Because I want to be used by you. Is that your desire tonight, to be used by God, a vessel fit for the finer, a vessel for the finer? You say, "God, I may not be much." You ever go there before? so God would use my life. And sometimes as I pray that, I say, God, would you use me today? And I almost want to stop and say, God, why would you use me? God, I have so many mistakes and flaws and failures. Lord, I'm not perfect. I don't know how you could use me, Lord, but if you can use me, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord, today. And that's what God wants to use. Someone that say, God, to the best of my ability, I want to be clean in your eyes. God, to the best of my ability, I want to be submitted to you and willing to be used by you. And say, God, however you want to use me today, I'm willing to be used by you. If you want to pick me up and use, I'll speak for you. I'll talk for you. I'll go where you want me to go because I want to be a vessel used by the Lord. I can tell you this, you'll never be disappointed to be used by God. Amen? You'll never be disappointed to be used by God. There's times where sometimes I fight the Lord and I say, God, I don't want to do that. God, I don't want to go there. Or I don't want to say that. And you start to fight the Lord a little bit and then you say, God, okay, I'll do what you want. And you see how God uses your life. Christian, today as we kind of come to a close of this year and we have a month of the year remaining, I hope and I pray it's our desire that we will be clean. That we will be clean. If there's something in your life tonight, man or woman or teenager or child, if there's something in your life that you and God both know is in your life that should not be there, would you get it right with God? Would you say, God, it's all on the table. If it's music, God, you can have my music. Lord, if it's my thinking, you can have my thinking. If it's my computer, you can have the computer. If it's an evil thought, Lord, would you please get that right? If there's something in your life, Christian, would you bring it before the Lord? Not hold on to it. And this is what many Christians do. I'll get everything else right, but I'm keeping this one. Would you say, God, it's all yours. It's all on the table. You can clean it up. You can get it out because I want to be used by you. With head bowed and eyes closed tonight, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I don't know how you want to use the message tonight, but I pray that it would help at least one person tonight. Lord, I pray and desire that it would be our desire to be used by you.